Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Jesus took Peter aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are thinking not as God does, but as humans do." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wants to become my follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to start with a question for you. You can just think about the answer in your mind, which is, whom do you trust? Whom do you trust? I can imagine lots of different answers to the question. I don't know how you answer this question for yourself. Maybe you don't trust anyone. For different reasons, often good reasons, people have unfortunately got to the point in their life where they can't trust anyone. Maybe you can think of one person whom you trust so much that you would literally put your life in their hands. Maybe there are many people whom you trust. I think that's a really wonderful situation to be in, if there are many people you can trust. And I was wondering, when I was thinking about the people whom I trust, and I've been pretty blessed, I must say, in my life, I've got more than a couple of people whom I can really trust. What are some of the qualities of someone you would really trust, or you do really trust? Well, one is that you could say anything to them. Even things that you couldn't say to most people, even things that are hard to say, you could say to someone you trust. You also know that someone like that would be very compassionate. When you are hurting, when you're in trouble, when you've done something really bad, they're not going to condemn you. They're going to be compassionate and support you. But someone whom I want to trust would also be the people who are honest with me about who I am and what I've done, and who hold me accountable. Now I'm asking the question this evening, whom do you trust? Because I want to continue the theme that Father Gary began the last two Sundays. And by the way, they're going to conclude, Father will conclude next Sunday, which is about the crisis the church is in. 2 weeks ago, he talked about the pain inflicted on people, the harm caused by abuse, by some of our leaders, including our priests, some of our bishops, and those who have covered up this terrible wrongdoing. And last week he spoke about the blessings, despite all the harm, and it is very real, that people have suffered at the hands of some of our clergy and other leaders. We can look back over 2,000 years and see incredible blessings that we have received, the whole world has received through the church. Next week is going to be, I hope, for you and for us, a very hopeful one, because the theme is hope. Where do we see hope? But this evening I want to address this question to you. Do you trust the church? Do you trust the church? To be honest with you, I'm not sure how I would answer that question this very evening. Because the church is full of people like us, that is to say, ordinary people. We're all sinners, we all make mistakes. But not only that, there are people in the church who have harmed others. And if I were to extend the question beyond the walls of this church on Sunday to the people in the community outside us, our neighbors, our families and friends and co-workers, and ask them, do you trust the Catholic Church? I wonder what they would say. What do you think? I wouldn't blame them if they'd say they're not sure they trust the church, or even were more direct than that, and they said, no, I don't trust the Catholic Church. Not only do some of their leaders cause harm, but other leaders have covered that up. I was thinking about the passage we just heard from Mark's Gospel, thinking especially of Jesus' words to Peter. Among the more dramatic things that Jesus said to anybody, he said to Peter, as we just heard, when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I can't imagine many stronger words from Jesus addressed to anyone. Maybe you can think of something more stronger words, but I can't right now. "Get behind me, Satan." These words addressed to Peter. Does Jesus trust Peter at that moment? I would say no. He says, "For you are thinking not as God does, but as humans do." And we know that it is Peter himself who, on this very same occasion as related in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus says, "You are Peter." He gives him the name Peter. And he says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He's made Peter the first pope. This frail human being, whom at some level, it seems to me, he does not trust. Because Peter at that moment is thinking not as God does, but as humans do. Why is that? Peter is afraid. Peter is afraid because Jesus has just said, the Son of Man, he himself, must undergo great suffering, be rejected, be killed. And Peter takes him aside to rebuke him. He knows better than Jesus, so he thinks. In a mysterious way, I think who Peter is, this one particular man from 2,000 years ago, chosen by Jesus to be the rock on whom he would found his church, speaks to us today about what it would mean to say, "I trust the church." What it would mean to answer that question, "Do you trust the church?" From the very beginning, Jesus, in his divine wisdom, laying out the plan of how things would go after he returned to the Father, places the weight of his church on the shoulders of a frail human being. And not just one, but we could rightly say on our shoulders. And we are all frail human beings. But I would like to ask you to kind of continue this conversation. Is a different kind of question. I'm not going to ask you if you trust Jesus. I think that'd be too easy, don't you think? You'd probably say yes. Maybe you wouldn't, by the way. If you wouldn't, I can understand. Because it takes a long time to get to know him. I want to ask you a different question, very similar but slightly different. How much do you trust Jesus? How much do you trust Jesus? Because the demand that he lays out for anyone who wants to follow him is one that we should really think seriously about, don't you think? If you want to become my follower, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He's asking for everything. He's not asking for a little. He is saying, he already said of himself, "I'm going to go and be rejected and suffer and be killed. And if you want to follow me, that is, if you want to be my follower, you need to take the same path. How much do you trust Jesus? And that, to me, is also a hard question to answer for myself. I'd like to answer completely, but the reality is, I'm not sure. I aspire to trust him with everything of who I am and what I have. I hope you do too. I hope you want to trust Jesus fully and completely. He gives us reason to trust him, because he says whoever wants to save their life will lose it. He knows how it is with us human beings. Why would we trust him? Think about this. The first thing he says is, you think you can save your life? If you think you can save your life, you're wrong. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. And then he says something remarkable. It's a promise. It's only a promise that will be fulfilled for us if we trust him, which is, if you lose your life for my sake, he says, and for the sake of the gospel, then you will save it. Whoever wants to become my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, we really do need to get deeply into God's word, which is what I was doing just now with you. But we can't get so lost there that we don't remember that God's word points us back to the present day, this parish here and now, the situation that we are all in. And that question, which I have a hard time answering, do you trust the church? I think there are some answers. I've been looking hard, talking to people I know, including priests whom I trust, like Father Gary, and others who are friends and family, reading and thinking. I could say something I think is very helpful, which is certainly true in Canada and the United States, that despite all the ongoing issues, the situation in the church as an institution is much better than it was decades ago. The reports that have come out recently refer to abuse that was committed over the course of 70 or more years. And they're terrible stories, because terrible things were done. They're not over. Anyone, you might know someone as I do, who's been harmed as a child, lives with that for the rest of their life, and they're still living with it today. It's not over. But I can say that the institutions of our church, the structures, the legal framework, and all that kind of thing, is much better than it was. And I also want to say, as a Catholic who loves the church, I am grateful, which is hard for me to say, but I am grateful to the media and to the civil authorities for holding us and our leaders accountable. They are doing us a favor by bringing to light things that we had hidden. We need to be people of the truth. We need to protect the innocent. And if the media, which has its own agenda, as we all know, and the authorities, which may or may not care about the church, are willing to hold us accountable, we should say thank you. So at that level, I'd say, I think we have come a long way. We have a long way yet to go. Now, even though this evening I'm speaking to you about the question, do you trust the church, I want to get even more specific. And I want to tell you why I trust the church. I do trust the church, in a way. I trust the church because I know so many wonderful people who are not just wonderful people like other wonderful people in my life, but who are wonderful because they have given their lives to Jesus Christ and to serve his church. That includes some of you who are here this evening. I might say all of you, but I don't know all of you equally well. Those of you whom I know who serve the church faithfully and loyally, people I trust. I, of course, include many priests. I mentioned a few whom I trust earlier, including Father Gary here, and others who are serving God in a very unique way with a calling that is a great mystery, just like Peter's calling, a great mystery. An ordinary human being is lifted up by the sacrament of holy orders so that he can be Christ for us and bring Christ to us and be our shepherd and our pastor. And I hope you know, as I do know, that most of our priests are wonderful people, solid people, and some are very holy people too. I want to give you one quick example from my own life of a group of people in this church to whom I entrusted my children. And that was the youth ministry here. That's why I'm here, actually, from several years ago. Sam is on retreat. He's not here tonight. You might have noticed that. We have a wonderful group who's doing music ministry for us. But not just Sam, actually. A number of adults. I was thinking about a lot about why I entrusted my children to the youth ministry here. What I saw was a group of people, younger and older, men as well as women, a group of adults who were giving their lives for the sake of my kids and other young people who would come every couple of weeks, experience an evening of fun and prayer, and have, I would say, great role models in those adults. It was such a heartening thing for me, and I know for my wife, to be able to drop our kids off and pick them up at the end of the evening, and I can tell you that it's made a difference to them. They're not children anymore. But I think that that example and that experience that I've had of a group of Catholics in my trust points the way forward, I hope, for you and for me and for all of us. I have one more question. Who trusts you? Who trusts you? I've mentioned a few people whom I trust in the church, people in the youth ministry and others who are here this evening, Father Gary and other priests whom I know. But I would say my response, and I hope your response to this terrible situation that's been going on for decades in our church, is that we need to step up. We need to be a community which is not passive and waiting for people to serve us, but willing to step forward, as Jesus asks us to when he says, "Take up your cross and follow me. Lose your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel." All that means is that we need more and more of us, you, me as well, to be active in this community so that it becomes a community where many of us are able to be responsible and contributing members, wonderful role models, because to me the safest community is one where there are many active people who hold each other accountable and trust each other and create an atmosphere where others can come to us and say, "I'm not sure about the whole big church, but these people I trust." And I think it's in this spirit that I ask you to stay tuned for next week, where Father Gary will preach about hope. The question of trust is not an easy one. Like I said, and I still mean it, I'm not sure if I trust the church in the sense that we are composed of fallen human beings who make mistakes and who commit sins, and some of whom have done terrible things. That's true. But I am sure that I trust the church because this is the church founded by Jesus Christ, founded on our frail humanity, founded so that people can find him and meet him and receive him in their lives. And I think of the beautiful psalm that was sung this evening, a psalm of great trust in God, which is my prayer for you and me and for us. "You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living."